Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. The European Investment Bank has been around since the inception of the European Union, but despite its vital role as the EU's lending arm, it hasn't had the sort of media attention of institutions like the European Commission or the European Parliament. But that is now changing. The EIB is taking on a more high-profile role, financing projects in the fields of security and defence. And this is a shift which my guest today calls a seismic shock. Nadia Calviño is the president of the European Investment Bank, a position she has held for just over a year. She's the first woman and the first Spaniard to lead the institution. She served as first vice president of the Spanish government and Minister of Economy, Trade and Enterprise until December 2023 in the cabinet of Socialist Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez. Welcome to the programme. So you want to double or triple the financing of defence projects this year. Is that going to help the EU reach its target of spending 800 billion euros on defence projects?
Yes, since I was appointed president of the European Investment Bank, I had a clear idea, unfortunately, that we needed to step up our support to Europe's security and defence capabilities. But each institution must play its role. We are not a defence ministry. We can finance large investment projects, which are quite key to the resilience of the European Union, be it in military mobility, research, space, military barracks and facilities. So since 2024, we started to enlarge the scope and our ambition in this area. We have been visiting the different member states, talking to the industry, identifying the gaps and where the EIB can really make a difference. And that is leading us right now to have a robust pipeline of 14 projects and doubling again investments in 2025.
When you mentioned that other institutions have to play their role, would you like them to be more ambitious on defence?
I think that each institution has a role to play. Defence ministries and finance ministries at national level, the European Commission, the European Defence Agency, NATO, of course. And within this ecosystem, the European Investment Bank is already stepping up its support to Europe's capabilities.
Now, you at the moment are not allowed to finance the production of actual weapons, right? But the EU Council has asked you to reevaluate what kind of things you're allowed to finance. So are these criteria going to change?
Well, since last year, we've been extending, enlarging the scope of projects that we would be financing while preserving our strong AAA. Because our AAA rating is what allows us to lend the money to the member states, to companies outside the Union in very interesting conditions. Low interest rates, long tenures, 30-year loans, for example. And that's what makes projects possible that would be not possible without the EIB support. We need to preserve our AAA rating, and we need to also step up our support to Europe's security and defence industry. And I'm very happy that European leaders have shown strong support for our approach, which will, from now on, allow us to finance pure military projects. For example, military mobility, infrastructures, border protection, research, drones, demining and decontamination, thus contributing to a stronger Europe in a safer world.
Let's talk a bit about the EIB's support to Ukraine, because you met President Zelensky in Kyiv last month, and since February 2022, you've provided 2.2 billion euros to Ukraine. In the process, though, Ukraine's debt has gone up hugely. Is that going to be a problem, do you think, for Ukraine's reconstruction going forward?
We are probably the most important financing partner for investments in Ukraine. And right now, in this war situation, this means that we are helping Ukrainian citizens lead a normal daily life, you know, within the extraordinary, abnormal circumstances around them. Because we are financing infrastructures to provide clean drinking water in Bucha, the metro and trams in Kyiv, in Lviv, in the main cities, protection for schools, kindergartens, hospitals, also border connections with the European Union. And so this is a very important support to Ukraine right now, which we provide with the guarantee of the European budget, and which is really contributing to support the Ukrainian economy and protect safety in the country. Europe is really right now a very important partner to Ukraine, the most important partner to Ukraine, knowing very well that Ukraine's security is European security.
A few weeks ago, Nadia Calvino, you said there is no doubt that the US is our strategic partner and that the transatlantic relation is important. Is it possible to still say that once you've seen what's happening with these tariffs, with President Trump imposing 25% tariffs on certain European imports to the US? Can you still say that the US is this strategic partner?
Well, for the past 80 years, we have greatly benefited from the world order, which was led by the Western democracies across the Atlantic, and which has really brought us peace, prosperity in Europe. We have benefited from the dividends of peace. But even more so, the US. The US has benefited greatly from the WTO, the international world order, the dollar, the free trade environment, rules-based environment. And I think we have a shared interest to continue to protect this multilateral world order. We have a strategic relationship. It is our main trading partner from many points of view. But the European Union should feel self-confident because we are a trade superpower. We are a technology superpower. We have our values, our strength right now. And I think around the world, our partners are realizing even more now than maybe in the past that their partnership with the European Union is advantageous because we are interested in win-win outcomes. We have partnerships where we benefit and our partners also benefit from that relationship. And that is more valuable now than ever.
You were talking about partnerships around the world, and President Trump is cutting, or says he's cutting, more than 90% of USAID foreign aid contracts. Does that raise the stakes for the EIB's development work in Africa particularly?
I think it opens an opportunity for Europe to build stronger partnerships, and the European Investment Bank will put the money where our mouth is. We're going to be contributing to those strong partnerships through strategic investments in Africa in particular and around the world.
And on energy transition, that's also something the EIB is very interested in the EU and in these partnerships with other countries as well. Just give us a quick outline of what you're doing. I think in France, for example, there are loans being used for projects for the energy transition.
Well, indeed, we are financing from energy generation and the inputs for nuclear production. For example, we have just signed a very important agreement with the Orano producer here in France to reinforce the capacity to enrich uranium and thus reduce dependence on Russia. But we are also investing in the grids and interconnectors, and we are also investing in the deployment of renewable energies in France, in Europe and around the world, and thus contributing to a safer Europe and a more strategic autonomy on the energy side. Last year, we doubled our investments in the energy grids, and I am quite sure that these will be a very important area for investment in 2025 too.
Is it a problem for the EIB that while you're doing these things to try and reduce, let's say, dependence on Russian energy, you've got Hungary and Slovakia, which want to continue their long-standing links with Russia? Is this kind of going into two opposite directions?
We have a very strongly united board, and each country has its own views on the projects or on the priorities. But so far, I have to say, we've had a very strong support for our strategy.
And of course, when it comes to social Europe, you're supporting affordable housing and energy efficiency. That's significant because according to Eurostat, 71.7 million people across the EU, that's just over 16% of the population, are at risk of poverty.
Yeah, this is a striking fact. I didn't know that before I became president of the European Investment Bank, but I traveled to the 27 member states last year and could see on the ground how housing is a challenge all around Europe. very different demographics, very different industries, very different economic situations, but a common challenge, which is how to ensure that, in particular, young citizens have access to affordable and sustainable housing. So from the European Investment Bank, we're creating a platform to rally all the efforts, public, private sector, and try to build a strong industry in Europe and also provide and support projects that can allow citizens to start their lives with affordable housing.
We're seeing a pushback against the green agenda in the EU. You sent a letter to the Commission a while back calling for a recalibration of reporting requirements so that they're fit for purpose and truly incentivise green financing. Did you get a convincing answer on this from the European Commission?
Well, we did see that the first omnibus proposals that have come out of the Commission go in the right direction, which is lightening the burden when it comes to reporting on green and trying to create the right incentives. I think it's a no-brainer for Europe. We need to really make the green transition a European success. We need to reduce our dependency on fossil fuels, and so we need to become much more independent in this area and increase our energy efficiency. As European Investment Bank, we are really committed to these green investments that represent more than 60% of our annual investments in Europe and around the world. But it is important that the regulatory framework is going in the right direction, but also contributing to Europe's competitiveness by reducing the burden and red tape on companies. The EIB is working, we are working very closely with the European Commission and with other partners to make sure that the regulatory and reporting framework is fit for purpose.
We'll have to end it there. Thank you so much for being my guest, Nadia Calvino, President of the European Investment Bank. Do stay with us here on Talking Europe.